If we're drowned by sorrow, if we are overwhelmed by grief, then it's time to reach out and grab hold of the Lord. It's time for us to grab hold like one who alone can save our beloved child, or like the horns of the altar. And that's what the man after God's own heart did. And that's how we should respond in verse 6. But David, with his whole heart, reached out and grabbed hold of God and said, "You're the only one that can help me. You're the only one. I'm going to test your promises. You said that if we seek you, we'd find you. I'm seeking. You said that you would be our refuge. I'm wanting the refuge. You said that you would help us. I'm wanting the help." See, that's what God is glorified through, when we, with our whole heart, seek Him. So whenever we feel drowned by sorrow, whenever we feel overwhelmed by grief, we should be careful, because we're on sacred ground as believers. We're at a place where God's voice is most clearly heard. It's a place where God's presence is most closely felt. And it's a place where God's guidance is most powerfully given. That's what affliction does. Now turn to the middle of your Bible, to the 119th Psalm. 119th Psalm. And that's the promise, the sixth blessing of affliction. Psalm 119, 107 says this, "I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." And what we looked at is we're afflicted. That means we're physically afflicted. That's the word that's used. We're afflicted very much. We saw the global flood of Noah and the plagues of Moses. And he says, "I'm afflicted very much. Revive me." Remember, that was the same word that God used for when he rescued Rahab. And what he says is, "Revive me according to your word." And that's God's word as the voice to guide us through life. So affliction allows us to experientially test God's promises. How do we do that? How do we lay hold on God? Well, the Bible gives us a pattern, and I'd like to complete that. And we're going to go back to Psalm 71. And you'll have to turn to any more places. I've heard all your pages turning. Go back to Psalm 71 and park there. You won't leave, okay, the rest of the morning. And for the next few minutes, let me show you how David, at the end of his life, testifies of testing God's promises. He says, "You remember me in Ziklag when I lost everything? Do you remember me in the ashes of all of my dreams and my family? Do you remember what I did, how I reached out to God?" At the end of his life, he wrote the 71st Psalm, and he said, "This is how I was revived. This is how I made it through my problems. This is how God came to my rescue." In verse 1, he said, "I tested God's promises because I fled to the Lord instead of living in confusion." He says, "In you I put my trust. I'm fleeing to you. I don't want to be confused." In verse 2, we saw he tested God's promise by crying to the Lord when troubles came. He didn't just go through them alone. He cried out to the Lord, and that's what verse 2 says. "Incline your ear and save me." Kind of like Peter when he was sinking. He didn't just sink. He looked at the Lord and said, "Help!" You see, God is glorified to help us. Third verse, we test God's promises, and David said, "I tested God's promises by running into God's refuge." You see, God is offering us, he's standing at the door with his arms out saying, "You having problems? Come on to me, come on to me, come on to me." You know, that's the idea. And we don't sometimes. And he says, "I want you to." And that's what verse 3 says. "Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually." God wants us to keep running to him and finding refuge. Verse 4, David said, "I tested God's promises by asking for God's help before becoming bitter." He said, "Deliver me from this unrighteous people. I don't want to get embittered and all defiled by that. I want to flee to you, and I want you to deliver me." That's the fourth verse.